In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today, we celebrate the feast of the circumcision of our Lord. And it is one of the seven minor feasts of the Lord. There are seven major, and there are seven what? Minor feasts. And the first mention of this idea of circumcision came in the book of Genesis, chapter 17, where the Lord God told Abraham and all the children of Israel to be circumcised as a sign, a covenant, an agreement between him and them. And it was a sign that was done on the eighth day after the male child was born. I wanted to just speak about the idea of why this is a feast. Why are we celebrating something that is something from the Old Testament? It's good to know these things, because through the church and its teaching, we understand the spiritual meaning behind all of the things that the Lord our God wants us to understand and benefit and know. According to St. Cyril of Alexandria, he says that the feast of the circumcision has a few points. The first point is that it emphasizes the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like we talked about on the Feast of the Nativity, Galatians 4:4, but in the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son to be born of a woman born under the law. So His true humanity, the circumcision, is a sign first, according to St. Cyril of Alexandria, a sign of His true humanity. The second thing that St. Cyril spoke about when he was commenting on this passage was that the circumcision was there so that the Lord God could fulfill the law. The Lord Jesus Christ said, remember, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, do not think that I have come to, what? Destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to what? To fulfill. So it's a celebration of the incarnation, the appearance of God in the flesh, and the fact that He submitted to this law for our sake. And St. Cyril, when he was talking about this passage, he sat there and he spoke a very long time about how wonderful it is that God was subjected to His own law. Was subjected to His own law. A sign, again, of great humility. Because He came to deliver those under the law. What is that law that He's talking about? It is the law of sin. The law of death. So in other words, He showed Himself obedient and submitted in every respect to God's law instead of us. Remember what He said to St. John the Baptist. Let it be that, remember St. John the Baptist, he said, no, it is not, I should not baptize you. You should baptize me. And what did he say? He said, let it be so that it may fulfill all righteousness. We fulfill all righteousness, all the law. So he saw that it was fit for him to be circumcised, to take the law under him, and to fulfill the law in his flesh, in his body. Again, what does this mean to us? Okay, what does this mean for us? Why is it such a big feast day? One of the seven minor feasts. Well, if you read in the New Testament, St. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 7:19, okay, he speaks a little bit about circumcision. And he says something peculiar. He says, circumcision is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing. Didn't we just say that it is a feast day in the church? Didn't we say that it was something that the Lord came to do? How could God command Abraham and all the children of Israel to keep this law, and St. Paul come and say, circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. St. Paul meant, according to St. Cyril of Alexandria, that after the new covenant, meaning after the incarnation of the Lord, the physical circumcision, was superseded by the spiritual circumcision. What was done physically must now be done spiritually. And he explains this to us in Colossians chapter 2. I know this is a little complicated, but just follow along the thought process here. St. Paul says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. By putting off, and this is what he's saying, this is now the real circumcision. This is the circumcision that we should be living now. By putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Then he continues, buried with him in baptism. Buried with him in baptism. So now, in the New Testament, after the Lord came, was incarnate, circumcision is now a spiritual act in which we receive it in baptism. In baptism. Remember how the Lord spoke about baptism in John chapter 3. And he said, unless one is born of water and spirit, he, what? Cannot enter the kingdom of God. Right? So also, in the Old Testament, this circumcision, the Lord said, anyone who is not circumcised cannot partake of the Passover. Cannot partake of the Passover. So again, what is this circumcision? St. Paul in Romans 2:29 says, it is the circumcision of the heart. The circumcision of the heart. In other words, cutting out what is evil in our life. Making a new covenant, a new agreement with our Lord and Savior. And if you think about it, this is why the church celebrates the Feast of the Nativity, then the Feast of the Circumcision, and then the Feast of the Theophany, or Epiphany. Because all those three feasts are tied together closely. He came in the flesh, he was circumcised, and the circumcision, as we said, is through baptism that we receive it. Therefore, the Epiphany, the Lord Jesus Christ submitted himself also to baptism to show us the connection between these three feasts. The first verse of today's Gospel says that the Lord was given his name on the eighth day. When it was 8 days, he was circumcised and he was given his name. So also, don't we do that in baptism? Don't we do that in baptism? When we baptize our children, we give them what? A new name. And it's very surprising these days, we have a very incorrect understanding of this. When we come to baptize a child, and I turn to the parents and I tell them, what name would you like for the child? They get very offended. What do you mean? His name, what's wrong with his name? You see, in baptism we receive a new nature. We are renamed, we are reborn. So because we are reborn, because we become new, we have to pick a new name for our child. And actually, in some of other Orthodox churches, they celebrate their birthday not on the day that they were born from their mother, but on the day that they were baptized. It's a good habit. Maybe we should do that. Let us understand this idea of circumcision, of taking away the bad, removing, having a contract with God, making us connected to God in that way. So, If we say circumcision is a spiritual act, removing of evil, how then do we do that? Very quickly, how do we do it? The first thing is we make a covenant with God, make an agreement with Him, like Job did. Job said what? I will not. I have made a covenant contract with my eyes not to look on a woman in a lustful way. This is Job. So the first thing is, this circumcision, today's feast, think to yourself, you have to ask yourself, what is your contract with God? What is your agreement with Him? All of us, young and old, what is your contract with Him? What does it look like? Have you signed the contract? So the first thing is, make a contract. Anything in our life that is separating us from God, today, let's think about it, and let's separate that from us. Separate it. The second thing, offer up a struggle. In order to keep a contract, if you're building a home, the builder is behind schedule in building, and the contract says it must be done by tomorrow, or must be done by a certain date. He struggles to finish the building, to finish the work. Us too, we must fight, we must struggle against the sin in our life, against the society that we live in, against all of the thoughts, against all of the habits. Just because somebody does something in this society doesn't mean you should. Again, we also talked about the cell phones. Is there really a reason to give our children cell phones? I don't see that there is. But because everybody has it, we do. No. Struggle. Fight against it. Not everything that is done outside should be done inside. Our home should be refuge, a haven, safe place from the world. Not introducing strangers and people and ideas and thoughts that are alien to you, to God, to the Bible. So struggle to keep the house, the physical house that you live in, closed. Try to struggle to keep the spiritual house, your heart, closed, which leads us to the third and final point. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. What does that mean? That means put a door on it. Don't let anything get into your heart without you first putting it through many different tests. The first test, the test of the Word of God. Does this agree with God's Word or not? Then the second test, would my parents accept this? Would my spouse accept this? The third test, would my good conscience accept this? So this is what it means, my dearly beloved, what it means to have a heart that is circumcised, to cut out the evil, to make the contract with God, to renew it, to guard the heart, to struggle, and to have a covenant with our Lord. May God give us the strength and the courage to do all of these things, and glory be to God forever. Amen.